All right, before we get started this morning in our Bible study, we're going to take a few moments for prayer requests. And anybody have any special requests we need to lift up to the Lord at this moment? Yes. Yes, continue to pray for Kathy Taylor. I'm sorry? Yes, her son died suddenly and just had the funeral yesterday, so pray for Kathy Taylor. Yes. Okay. Pray for Miss Carol. And Barbara, if you want to go ahead and mention the two requests that you mentioned for us to... Yes.
They're back in Africa, and he's taking immune therapy. He had his first treatment last week. He's got another one scheduled, I think, next Friday. So please pray for that. Also pray that they don't know about their insurance, how it's going to pay over there. That first therapy, immune therapy, cost $7,000.
Wow. Yes. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. So pray for Darlene as she begins her radiation treatments. Oh, wow. Wow. Pray for that. Is your friend of yours, you say?
It's a coworker of mine.
Okay. Pray for that one. They are dealing with cancer. Yes. Amen. Bud, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. We've been talking about the last few weeks about the importance of church membership and talking about the importance of attending and belonging to church. I found this old confession of faith from 1561. It's called the Belgic Confession of Faith. And again, it's one of the oldest confessions of faith that we know of. But I wanted to read a portion of it to show you that belonging to a church and church membership is not something that's new, it's old. Article 28 says the obligations of church members. We believe that since this holy assembly and congregation is the gathering of those who are saved, people ought not to withdraw from it. content to be by themselves, regardless of their status or condition. But all people are obliged to join and unite with it, keeping the unity of the church by submitting to its instruction and discipline, by bending their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and by serving to build up one another according to the gifts God has given them as members of each other in the same body. And to preserve this unity more effectively, it is the duty of all believers, according to God's word, to join this assembly wherever God has established it. Notice this next line: even if civil authorities and royal decrees forbid, and death and physical punishment result. And so all who withdraw from the church are all those who withdraw from the church or do not join it act contrary to God's ordinance. That's a very plain confession of faith, more or less stating that church is essential. And whether or not a government allows it or they don't allow it, such as the case in Canada, where they are not allowing churches to gather in some provinces at all. Some are very restricted in their percentages of those who are allowed to come. But nevertheless, I love that part, that we're to join this assembly wherever God has established it, even if civil authorities or royal decrees forbid and death and physical punishment result. Church is important. The gathering of the saints is very important. Well, we're looking at the church. This book right here, written by Jeffrey Johnson, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Conway. And I have 10 books with me. If you would like to purchase one, you can follow along with me as I read. And you can use this for your own study. They are $10 a piece. And again, I have 10 of those should you want one. I would encourage you to get one. But we're going to go ahead and get started. And our next section is entitled, Members Are to Love and Honor Each Other. Members are to love and honor one another. He starts out by saying that strife and discord are easy, very easy to sow in the church. But woe to those who plant such wicked seeds in God's vineyard. Now we know that God hates sin, and it is a sin, a great sin, to sow discord among the brethren. That's what Proverbs says. That which divides God's people and tears the unity of the church is certainly a great sin. So if we are commanded to maintain unity, and we are, we must realize that we sin against God when we initiate dissension among God's people. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul instructs us, he exhorts us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so listed here are many of the traits that are needed for unity: humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And the command is for us to utilize these traits to what? To maintain the unity of the Spirit. If you want to maintain the unity of the Spirit within the fellowship, you have to use humility. You have to use gentleness. You have to use patience and love. And so this exhortation implies that unity cannot be taken for granted. Selfishness still exists within all of us, and sin will continue to occur within the church. And so this is why patience and forgiveness and love are necessary attributes within the church for the saints. If there were no selfishness and hypocrisy in the church, there would be no need then for long-suffering and forgiveness. Yet long-suffering and forgiveness are required. Why? Because the danger of discord and factions are ever present within our fellowship. We are all called to exhibit and display the fruit of the Spirit because we have been charged by God to do all that we can to maintain the unity that has been established by the Spirit. And if we discard this charge, then we're living in sin. And so with this in mind, we must guard our hearts. Before discord erupts openly, it usually takes place inwardly, he says. Once we become critical and unhappy with a few things without properly dealing with our concerns, we will then be looking for problems. And once we start looking for problems, guess what? The floodgates will open and we will see offenses everywhere. And though we may not leave the church immediately, our affections have already started to pull away from the congregation. Though we still attend bodily, our hearts have sadly already exited. Slowly but increasingly, we will start missing church functions until we remove ourselves altogether, causing a breach in the unity of the church. We must remember that it is a sin to harbor animosity for a fellow church member without seeking reconciliation. To be secretly offended without seeking to forgive will separate friendships, and it will absolutely faction and split the unity of the church. And so we must be careful to guard our hearts against all forms of resentment and all forms of envy, all forms of pride. We must maintain a love for our brothers and never allow bitterness or contention to separate our affections for the people of God. He says this, and this is so true, that a critical spirit within the fellowship is absolutely contagious. Amen or oh me. A critical spirit is absolutely contagious. It can spread quickly throughout the congregation, maybe faster than COVID-19. Subtle complaints, even when legitimate, often breed discontentment. And then discontentment often spreads until it causes division within the church. Though there may be proper concerns, these complaints can be mishandled and cause discord. And it often starts with a simple concern. But that concern soon turns into gossip. And rather than seeking to handle the problem biblically, the problem is oftentimes first communicated to others within the church. Moreover, it is natural for us when we hear criticism to respond then with our own criticism. We become critical, and our critical spirits influence others then to be critical. Not only have we sinned in our hearts, but we have also then led others to sin also. We have then ceased to promote unity, but instead have sown seeds of discord among the saints. And let me just say that it is not wrong whatsoever to have concerns. It is not wrong to have concerns, but once we take the pleasure in pointing out flaws and sharing these flaws with others, we have failed then to operate in love. We have then spoken against our brothers, and this is a transgression against God's law. James 4:11 tells us this. Jeff says that minor concerns, minor issues should be overlooked in love, minor concerns should be overlooked because love covers such things. Peter said, love covers a multitude of sins. But when concerns need to be addressed, they should be directed only to the people directly involved. This should be done in the spirit of hostility. No. This should be done in the spirit of what? Humility. And with a desire to resolve the issue and the goal of strengthening the unity of the church. He mentions this, leaving the church out the back door without seeking to resolve one's differences is also not a good solution whatsoever. Though some may think that they are seeking to not disrupt the unity of the church by leaving quietly, they are still leaving with unresolved differences without any opportunity for a biblical resolution. It is even more disrespectful to leave a church in such a way. It is even more disrespectful to leave a church without first seeking to resolve the differences that may exist. And sadly, too many are too quick to leave a church. I've seen this time and time again as a pastor. People get upset, and without talking to the pastor, without trying to work out anything that any concerns that they may have, they just simply leave the church. That happens more often than not. But a way to maintain unity when we hear others complain about the church is to redirect that criticism with words of grace. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul commands us that we are to let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This command is to be implemented in every situation. If our communication is not seeking to assist others in their walk with the Lord, then we much refrain from speaking until the Spirit. It'd be best for us not to speak until the Spirit and His Word retunes our hearts. So when our fellow church members begin whispering in our ear, there's no need to tell that person that So when a fellow church member begins whispering in our ear, there is no need to tell that person that they are in danger of gossiping. We need only to redirect their conversation. And he gives an example here. One of the best ways to redirect gossip is by saying this: you are concerned about John Smith. Hey, we love John Smith. Let me ask you this question. Have you addressed your concern with him? If not, I will be happy to go with you. And so if you hear somebody complaining about a certain church member or even a pastor, instead of just saying, hey, you're about to gossip, rather, I see that you're concerned about John Smith. Let's go to him if you have not and talk to him. And Jeff says, normally this does the trick. Regardless, the goal is to always respond in a way that seeks to reconcile and build up our precious brothers and sisters, not to tear them down. If we, however, enter into their gossip, we share in their sin. It is our duty not only to defend the honor of our brothers and sisters, but to assist others in refraining from slander. For this reason, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, we are commanded to be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than ourselves. In short, we are to, as Romans 12:10 tells us, we are to love one another with brotherly affection and try our best to outdo one another in showing honor one to another. Oh my, how many churches could have saved a split, could have saved being in a faction and being divided if this was practiced by church members and pastors alike? Many, many. We're so quick to have such small concerns normally. Most of the things that people leave the church over are over minor things. Most of the time, people who leave the church do not do so because of doctrinal error, because of the pastor or whatever. It is because somebody hurt the feelings. Regardless that as a church member, a deacon, or a pastor. And they feel the best way to remedy that is not to talk to the person who offended them, but just to leave. And that's not the way. We would never end a friendship that way, would we? We shouldn't. Why would we leave the family of God, a local church, in such a way? But many people do, and they have this mindset, well, I don't want to cause a stir, so I'll just leave and be gone. But in reality, their absence alone causes a stir. People start wondering, well, where's so-and-so? Where are they at? Why haven't they been coming? And we try to call, they don't answer. That in itself leaves a church in division. And so the best way to handle those things is to go to that person in love, in humility, in gentleness, to seek reconciliation. Because the truth is, as a pastor, I'm going to say something that's going to offend you. And not meaning to. Maybe you've taken my words the wrong way. Somebody's going to say something to you within the church members, the body of Christ itself, that's going to hurt your feelings and so forth. Go to that person in love. Do not have this critical spirit, this spirit filled with bitterness, and then go into others trying to pour out that bitterness and critical spirit among others. Again, that has the potential then to spread like a virus in the church and cause much more division than you could ever, ever imagine. Anybody have any thoughts, comments concerning this particular section that Jeffrey has written about? Yes. Yes, that's right. What would be a minor issue that we may be offended, but really it's something that we just need to cover in love? It does not necessarily have to be addressed. What's a minor issue to you? Not being included. That's very good. Color of the carpet. Yes. We would all have different minor issues that we might think. But guess what? Sometimes your definition of minor and my definition of minor, two different things. So it's really an objective issue, really. So, but nevertheless, we could save ourselves and save the church a lot of division if we would just, you know, be honest and try our best to reconcile our differences with the person who has hurt our feelings. Anyone else have any comments? Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yes. That's right. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. That's right. Yeah, if you see something like that, don't go post it on Facebook, right? So-and-so was doing this. Anyway, there's no other... That's right. Yes. Amen.
Change their mind, change their life. So we all got to show love. So
yes.
Everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, all right, let's pray and we'll get ready for our second service. Our Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for this particular study, though, Lord, it's very short, but Lord, it's just power packed with exhortation and instruction as to how we're to handle issues that come in our way, in our lives, within the fellowship. And Lord, I pray that these things that we've spoken about, Lord, would be entered into our hearts and our minds, that we would not quickly forget the things that we've studied. Father, I pray that we would always endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit here at Beryl. Lord, help us to exercise these traits that Paul laid out before us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service that is to come. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.